Welcome. It's another beautiful Saturday afternoon outdoors. You're tuned in to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz. I'd like to hear from you. You can call in the studio, 235-9405, or outside the area at 877-235-9405, and we can talk about anything outdoors. I have to warn you, if you hear me gasp or catch my breath today, please forgive me, and don't call 911. I spent yesterday splitting wood with a maul, not one of those piston wood splitters, and I was working on a 110-year-old house, and once you remove one thing you're trying to fix, there's something underneath it. So I spent most of yesterday afternoon and evening crawling around and under a redecking a porch, and I hurt all over, some places more than others. I'm sure my brother feels the same way. He used to get in trouble for 34-letter words, but now there's 2 3-letter words that I really don't like, and those are old and age. But anyway, we had fun. These scrapes will heal. I actually fell through the porch at one point yesterday. But, hey, we were out in the fresh air, saw 5 deer cross the pasture yesterday afternoon. That was worth the trip over there. And it was real funny. I saw the first one come out of the woods, and you know, we're 300, 350 yards off from these deer. The wind's blowing from them to us. We've been hammering and beating around the house. They really obviously don't care that we're up there. And immediately we're like, hey, there's deer in the field. Shh, don't move. There's deer in the field. It's an auto reaction anymore, especially if you deer hunt and that sort of thing. It's just what you do. It was real funny, Paul, and I had a laugh about that. Can you believe how wrong the weatherman was last week? I don't know about you, but I wanted to ask them. I was looking at my radar screen at home, and I said, where do you see 4 to 6 inches of rain out there? I'm not seeing any rain at all within 500 miles. But, okay, weather changes and winds blow in, and I understand that. But, you know, it changed offshore. We postponed the trip. Now it's changed again. It looks to be getting better for next week. And that's weather plays. If you hunt fish, you know how important weather is. For those of you who've never been to the Gulf Stream, we go out there, troll for wahoo, tuna, mahi. You know, you pick up marlin, sailfish, that sort of thing. But a small weather change offshore can be a difference in a smooth ride out. And by out, I mean 60, 70 miles to the Gulf Stream right now. It comes in to 30 or 40 miles later off in the summer. And that ride out or back can be really smooth, or it could mean being sore for a week. You know, 2-foot waves at the right interval versus 3 to 4 foot waves stacked on top of each other. And those are trip makers or trip breakers. And that weather changes. And I understand not too hard on the weatherman, but, it was a great week last week. I hope you got out. I did. Talk a little bit more about that in a minute. I did have a turkey hunting report. A good friend of mine, got up early Wednesday morning, kind of a last minute. Said he didn't really didn't want to get up and go, but he scored a turkey last Wednesday morning. I've heard of a few more people in the last couple of weeks who have got him. He said he saw the bird about 200 yards off across the field. He sat down, called once, and said the bird gobbled and came at him in a dead run. So good job, John. You know, for me, those two words, next year, that's just a good way to say I never even went this year. So next year, we'll see. Calendar of events, reminders. You know, last week we had Bo Mongold on with YLI Camps. That's www.ylicamps.com. Talking about the outdoor camps that Clemson puts on. 5 of them, the regular 4-H, the Shooting Sports Technology Adventure Camp in the mountains, and the Marine Camp down at the coast. Remember, those are great camps for kids this summer. Next week, we will have Dan Dupree on. He's with the Department of Natural Resources, and they run Camp Wildwood. Camp Wildwood is a progressive camp. It's for 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. And you go the first year, you get invited back for the second year and the third year, and they progress from different areas of the state and different things that they do. And that's for high schoolers, so Dan will be with us next week. Coming up in the next 2 weeks are 3 youth fishing rodeos. Now, I was at a youth fishing rodeo this morning in Draper, which is in York County. Talked about it a couple weeks ago, had Ken Fleming on. I went to it. I'll be talking a little bit more about it later on. But you have next Saturday in Lancaster. I know it's a haul for people in Greenville, but there are people in that part of the state that listen to us. So at Sunrise Lake It's the Fishing Rodeo, Lancaster, South Carolina. 15 years and under, must be accompanied by an adult. Prizes, there are some rods available. Bring your own if you can. Bait will be provided, again, and all these things. No pets, no adult fishing. Free lunch for registered kids. It is handicap accessible. And you can see all these fishing rodeos at the DNR website, www.dnr.sc.gov. And you can go further with a backslash aquatic, AQUATICED / rodeos, or call them 803-737-8483. And that's, again, that pertains to all the fishing rodeos. We're going to talk about three of them today. Great time. I've got a whole segment on the one I went to this morning. Again, May 17th is a busy day. Seems like the rest of these things are May 17th. Hike with a Ranger down at Sesquicentennial State Park in Columbia. From 10 a.m. to 11:30. You need to register 3 days prior. So, you know, May 13th if you want to push it to the day before, or May 14th. It's an hour and a half spent with a ranger. You'll do a 2-mile hike, you know, focus on fitness, then learn about trails, recreational outdoor possibilities, that sort of thing. Again, that's off the South Carolina State Parks website. Pretty easy to find. I had somebody mail me a bass fishing tournament. I love this. If you have an event, and I do have I just set up an email until my website gets up. But if you have an event, feel free to get to me on Facebook. I'll give the email address in a minute. This is the Good Shepherd Bass Fishing Tournament. It benefits the Good Shepherd Free Medical Clinic of Lawrence County. It's May 17th, 2014. The launch site's 45 Landing on Lake Greenwood. That's at the Highway 72 Bridge. Starts at 7 a.m., weigh in at 3 p.m. Cost is $100 per two-man boat, $20 per man for big fish. The prize is $1,000 first place, second place $700, third place $500. T-shirts provided, food provided following the tournament. There are official rules available upon request. You want more information, you can contact Dean Youmans at dean.youmans@gmail.com. And like I said, I appreciate them sending this to me. Let me get it on the air. That's a good cause to support, a free medical clinic. There's another fishing rodeo. This one I will be at. I'm going to go to this one. This one's May 17th at Tamasi, however you want to say, the Piedmont Forestry Center. 12 years and under for this one. Prizes will be awarded. Bring your own fishing equipment. I will, at the fishing rodeo, have a rod and reel. If you come in and say you heard on Woods and Water, you'll get your free fishing rod. No adult fishing, handicap accessible. Again, this is available on the DNR website. Right up here in Greenville, we have a moonlight paddling and camping at Paris Mountain. That's May 17th. This is through Sunrich Adventures. They have an agreement with the park there to let you go paddling and camping overnight. It's $50 a person. Call Sunrich Adventures at 864-834-3019. It's limited to 12 campers. So I checked yesterday. There are spaces still available. If you want to do this, you need to get on it quickly before those spaces fill up. There's Palmetto Camp out at Merle's Inlet if you're down on the beach on May 17th at Huntington Beach State Park. There again, stay overnight with a park ranger and learn cooking, camping secrets, that sort of thing. Great family time. That's off the South Carolina State Parks website too. There is one more fishing rodeo that's in Union, South Carolina on the 17th. It's the Jake's event, Juniors Acquiring Knowledge, Ethics, and Sportsmanship. What a great, great acronym for a fishing rodeo for kids. Lots of sponsors, BB Guns, Games, Rockwall, Reptile Exhibit, DNR's Take One, Make One shooting trailer. Again, DNR website. Go to a fishing rodeo. I went to one I'll talk about later. It was a great time. See you back on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'll be adding those calendar events to the Facebook page. Soon we'll be adding them to a website. Log in, check on the posts and pics, give the show a like. I've got a Gmail address now. I couldn't get Woods and Water SC, so I got scwoodsandwater@gmail.com. So scwoodsandwater@gmail.com. Send me your pictures, send me your events, comments, questions, that sort of thing. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to know what you're thinking. On the line right now, we have Colleen Pusateri. Colleen, how are you doing?
I'm good, Roger. I'm really good. Thank you.
Very nice. Now, if you haven't listened to the show before, one of the gems that I have happened upon is NASP, National Archery and School Programs. Colleen is, and her husband have a program here in town for homeschoolers. Colleen, I followed you. Y'all have a great bunch of kids. Saw you in Columbia. Tell me the latest news.
Yeah, it's been really, really exciting. We qualified at state. We podiumed at third place, and we had one of our girls take first overall in high school, and then our male, one of our male archers placed second in a crazy tie-off shoot. And now our team is headed to nationals next week in Louisville, Kentucky. We're taking 24 of our archers to Louisville to compete with about 10,800 other archers. And we're also going to be a part of the Guinness Book World Records, setting another world record for the world's largest archery tournament. So it's really exciting. It's a great time for these kids.
That is, and congratulations to you and the Hurricanes archery team.
Thank you.
I pulled a little bit off the outdoor wire. I said student archers set their sights on Louisville. I did not know this, but there are scholarships available.
Yes.
If you do well at nationals. Can you
tell us
a little bit about those?
Yes. Over the years, as the program, the NASP program has grown, there are more and more people that are getting involved with these wonderful sponsorships. I don't have the list of the ones that are, you know, putting money into this, but we're at about, I think, $17,000 or $20,000 available per archer at this point for some of the top placements.
Yeah, I see this. Matthews, Inc., $20,000.
Right.
Gordon Composites, $20,000.
Yes.
Morel Targets, $10,000. Field Logic, $5,000. Mm-hmm. Sanders. I mean, that's...
It's some substantial amounts that these kids can go walk away with, which is just awesome. Really, really awesome.
It is great. Now, I've shared with them before, but if you haven't heard, Colleen and her... Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick.
Right.
Now, Patrick's
yes.
in China right now. That's why we've had a hard time getting up, because
yes.
you have been just... Busy.
It has been. He finally got home the other night, so he's home
good.
Safe.
Good. That's why I'm talking to you today. Things are back to
yes,
normal.
Yes, that's right.
Patrick and Colleen lived in Spartanburg County, and they mm-hmm. were active in a NASP program there. They moved to Greenville County, didn't see one, mm-hmm. and said, hey, this is a program we believe in, and y'all started one.
Right. Well, we approached the Hurricanes, which
okay.
it's all because of the Hurricanes. We went to, the Hurricanes was established in 2008 in this state.
Right.
Competitive homeschool program that is set up for sports, and they didn't have archery. When I approached the head of it, he was completely behind us, and once he heard about it, he just let me go with it, and within 2 months, we had the program rolling, and so we're now going to go in and offer a summer archery program for anybody that wants to find out about the program, as well as offer it to the current archers to stay conditioned. So we're really excited about that opportunity through the Hurricane.
That is really good. Now, how would they go about getting in touch with you for that summer program?
They can send me an email at hurricanesarchery@gmail.com. And it's for right now ages or grades 6th through 12th grade.
Colleen, congratulations. Thank you for taking the initiative
Thank
and
you.
Doing this for all of us.
Oh,
I know, I know my daughter is still just bouncing off the walls. Daddy, I want a bow. I need to start practicing, but I'm
right.
holding her back until fall.
Right.
But we will be there with you in the fall, and we'll
That's
have more
great.
And more updates here.
Yes, we look forward to having her.
And
all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling time. In. Good luck. Be careful going up there, and
we
give
will.
Us an update when you get back.
We sure will. Thank you so much.
Yes,
we'll
ma'am.
Be in touch.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
National Archery and School Program. If you have any, if your child hears the words and says, that might be good, it's really a neat neat organization to be a part of. And it leads right in to one of my sponsors, Jeffrey Archery down in Columbia. Tom Jeffrey was the referee at the South Carolina State Championships that I went to down at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic a few weeks ago. He is consistently one of Matthews Bowe's top 100 in the nation. He has a great pro shop there. In fact, he was showing me, they go through a checklist when you go buy a bow, and you just don't go buy a bow. You go test drive every bow you want to, and they've got all of them, including custom-made recurves and longbows. They're on, you get to shoot it, buy it, they set it up, and when you walk out the door, it's done. A real custom experience. They're on Bluff Road, just south of Columbia, off Highway 77. Telephone number is 803-776-3832. Tell him you heard about it here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. And he was telling me when I was in there the other day, he said when NASP came out of Kentucky into South Carolina, he was one of four people at the very first meeting they had. So you got to hand it to Tom Jeffrey for taking the initiative, getting this thing rolling. Colleen and Patrick for coming in, seeing a need, and putting themselves out there for kids, which is what we like to do. This morning, or yesterday, I went to the farm in Chester. And, oh, by the way, if you went to the fishing rodeo over that way, now there's the barbecue, and we drove through downtown last night. You can smell the barbecue in the back lot. And as you drove through, it was real crisp and clear last night. You could smell the barbecue going on the cookers and all. And historic Brattonsville right there. And come to find out, there's a rodeo over there tonight. I didn't realize it, but this morning when I woke up, I could hear all the cows mooing, and there were lots of horse trailers around. And I figured out, well, the rodeo, it's the first Saturday night in May. So if you're over there for that or the barbecue, now you've got another excuse to stay out as a family and go to the rodeo tonight. It's a pro-am rodeo. It's pretty good. I went to the fishing rodeo at Draper this morning. That was so much fun. You know, you pulled in, parking area, there's a DNR officer there to help you. Here's the park, where to walk. The registration tables, staffed by DNR officers, volunteers. And, you know, they got you registered. They were giving out free stuff. They gave you t-shirts, stickers. They were giving away free rods and spin cast reels to the kids that showed up. You know, spin cast, that's the old push button zip codes like. They gave out hooks, corks, stringers, free bait. A lot of people brought their own stuff, but some, I talked to several families. This was their first time fishing. Mom, dad, couple of kids, never been fishing before. I tried to help a little bit, but I was on a schedule. I had to get back up here. You know, you went down to the water, found a good spot. You know, there's lots of shade around those ponds at Draper. You know, or you can sit in the sunshine, but what is a fishing rodeo? It is fun. And then you just bait it up and started fishing. And I'm doing this for those of you who've never been to something like this and you're thinking, well, you know, what is it? What do I do? That sort of thing. This is for you. You know, one of the things, and I'm a Southerner and I've never met a stranger. So, you know, what do? Talk to your neighbors. You know, the people sitting next to you, they're just another family having fun just like you are. Might be a little foreign thought to some of you that aren't from around here, but you know, chances are they might catch more fish than you. And if you've been nice to them and introduce yourself, they might share what you're doing. Or if this is your first time, they might help you with how to tie that hook on and that sort of thing. It was neat to see the families out there, small kids, teenagers, parents, grandparents, friends, you know, dads helping their little ones cast a rod. Teenagers, you could tell the ones who had fished for a while because they had, you know, by 8:30, they had 8 or 9 catfish, and they were fishing for blue catfish. You know, bobbers going up and down, older kids helping young ones get the fish out of the water, DNR officers. They had a Polaris over there with a flatbed trailer behind. They were taking people to the second pond, which is a little farther away from the registration table. Lots of talking. You know, you hear the dad, now keep the line tight. Now you can't catch anything if you don't leave the bait in the water. You know, pay attention. Your cork's going under, but you aren't looking. I've been guilty of that one. I have a distractible daughter, and you know, the bobber goes under and she's playing with the worms. You know, this is fishing. But the best time, the best sound you heard the whole morning long was that kid who started screaming, "I got one, I've got one." You know, maybe that's the first time he's ever felt a fish on the end of his line. They had the grill going. You could smell the smoke, the food cooking. DU was there. The kids get tired of bluebird, of fishing. They go make a bluebird house. Other things for them to do, and it's memories. I mean, those are memories. Those kids, some of them, you know, couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old, just having a ball. And the best thing of all, it's free. It's free. Things I noticed that you might want to take if you go to one of these things. Now, be aware that some of these other ones, you need to look at those brochures because some of them don't give away all the free tackle and all. This one they did. You might want to check with DNR. They each have a flyer, a PDF flyer on the DNR website. Things I thought you might need to take. Folding chairs. Just those, you know, folding camp chairs for everybody. If there's shade, fine. If not, if you've got a sunshade, you need to take one. Cooler with ice and drinks, that's a given. Pliers, you know, you got to get the hook out, and you don't want to stick your hand in the mouth of a catfish. So, you know, a pair of needle-nose pliers or regular pliers. A towel or something to grip the fish, to hold it. Be careful because catfish do have, you know, dorsal and spines and all that will stick you and they hurt. A cheap 5-gallon bucket to take the fish home, because when you go to these fishing rodeos, those are your fish to take home. They don't want them throwing back. And that also keeps your cooler clean. You don't have to put those, you know, smelly, slimy fish in the cooler and have your wife say, "Now my cooler's dirty." So a 5-gallon bucket. Wear clothes for the weather. It was 57 degrees this morning over there. And granted, it was going to get up to about 70. There are some kids running around in t-shirts and shorts. And of course, the kids don't care. But you know, as an adult, you look at them and go, "Oh man, they should have had long pants on." So dress for the weather. Don't forget hats, sunglasses, sunscreen, bug spray. You know, coloring books, whatever you need to get between fish. Try to leave the iPads and all that home for just one day. Be ready to walk around the ponds, go visit the tents, see what else is going on. And remember, you know, when a kid says, "Daddy, I'm done fishing," you know, let them be done. Go do something else. And that break, you know, get a little release of energy. They may want to come back and do some more. Lots of good prizes at the end of the day. I know they were giving away better fishing rods and reels, gift certificates, and then the big one was all. I think one of the DNR officers told me they were giving away 3 lifetime fishing licenses. Lifetime fishing, that means you never have to buy another fishing license. If you're 5 years old, that may be 70 years worth of fishing licenses. And you know, if you don't have to buy a fishing license, well, hey, we'll just go fishing. It doesn't cost me anything. One last thing that I thought about driving back today, and it's kind of a side thing, is take your kids and talk with the DNR officers. You know, what a better way to shape their opinion of, well, wildlife officers, enforcement, than an environment where they're friendly, helpful, handing out free stuff, helping you bait, cast, that sort of thing. That impression, as opposed to the first meeting when they catch you without a license and over the limit. Can't help but think that makes a difference in how they perceive rules and regulations as they grow older, and their view of enforcement officers when they're introduced to them at a young age and this kind of activity. Now, does that make sense to anybody else? Maybe it's just me. I'll finish this up on the other. Just got one more thought. Please stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You can call me at 235-9405 if you're around the Greenville area, or 877-235-9405 if you're outside of the area. One couple of final thoughts about the fishing rodeos. They're free. Be careful when you go to the DNR website and look at these fishing rodeos that are coming up over the next few weeks. Check with them and see. You know, this one, every kid that went through got a rod and reel. Now, I noticed on some of these others it says some rods available. Bring your own if you can. So just check and make sure when you're going to one of these, what you need. You know, they're here to help you. If you don't know exactly how to fish and stuff like that, somebody will take you and show you how to do it. But one last thought on that is, you know, take the time, take your kids. Fishing may not be, you know, your thing. Golf may be your thing, or some other sport or whatever. That's fine. But I'm saying it, looking at those kids this morning, you could tell some of those parents were so far out of their element, but they were there and they were having a good time. The kids don't know. You know, they're out with mom and dad. They're fishing. You know, there's other people catching fish. They're outside. There's bugs and that sort of thing flying around. Take them. You know, maybe even one of those friends that we talked a week or so ago about, take one, make one. You know, maybe one of their friends has never been fishing. Maybe you take yours all the time. One of their friends has kind of looked at you from a distance and hasn't been comfortable saying, would you take me? You know, take one of those kids, a kid down the street. Have fun. Don't make it work. Stay in a good mood. I have to remind myself about this. You know, no matter how many times you have to untangle the line or remind them to watch the cork of the water, you know, congratulate that future fisherman when he does anything right. And especially when he catches that fish, be as excited as he is. And when you go to a fishing rodeo, you will catch fish. They brought in 3,400 pounds of blue catfish to those two ponds in Draper. And, you know, by the time I left at 9:15, there were stringers full all around that lake. When you leave those events, thank people. You know, all those DNR guys, this is a Saturday. You know, but they're out there at 7 o'clock getting everything ready. They're carting you around. They're nice to you all day long. They're just as excited as that little 5 or 6 year old is about this, because they do this because this is what they enjoy. And they enjoy watching other people do it too. Thank the sponsors, the volunteers. You know, they're the ones that make all of this happen. So I hope you'll go do it. I'm going to be at the one the 17th over at the Piedmont Forestry Center. I would love to see you. I'd love for somebody to come up and say, hey, I heard you on the air. I've never been to one of these things. I'm here. You know, what do I do? I'll be more than happy to help you. I set up the email address, scwoodsandwater@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll be glad to help you, tell you what you need to do. This week, one of the news stories was one of those you just don't like to hear. Father and two children missing in the Congaree National Swamp, or National Park. It's a swamp to those of us that have been there. You just don't want to hear it. And I know for about 3 days there, you weren't sure what happened or anything, but hey, every once in a while you get some good news. They were found. J.R. Kimbler, his 6-year-old daughter, Jade, and 10-year-old son, Dakota, found him early Tuesday morning near the Oak Ridge Trail. Just good news. The guy that found him, you could tell he was an outdoorsman, because he said he was out before sunrise because of the relative quiet in the forest at that time of the night. And if you've ever been out in the woods before the sun comes up and then you've been out after the sun comes, you know how noisy the woods get, you know, the bird. It's like it'd be dead quiet, and the first bird is like, okay, everybody wake up, and you can't hear. And you're deer hunting. You can hear deer coming 300 yards off through pine needles before the sun comes up. But as soon as those birds start chirping, you know, it could walk 5 feet behind you, and you may never hear it. But he knew that before daylight was the best opportunity to hear human voices. And sure enough, he just went through yelling for them, and they found them. They were in good shape, considering they'd been out there for 50-something hours. And that's a good ending, because that swamp is full of snakes and swamps. And I understand that because of the terrain and all where they were, Mr. Gertler could not get to them. They had to call DNR and have them come in with ATVs to get them out. They were good. They, you know, he said they were coherent. And that's but 58 hours with no food and water. And it brings up safety. And I have a whole, you know, one of the shows that I have recorded for one of those days, if I'm not here, is a show on safety. But a story like this just says, you know, maybe we need to cover a little bit of basic safety here. So bear with me. If you're a veteran hiker, you know, some of this stuff, you know, all the stuff still applies. And you may think, well, I'm past that, but yeah, refresher course is good for everybody. If you have never been hiking and you want to get into it, these are just some very simple rules to live by. It could save you a lot of grief down the road. Like I said, these were found. Some aren't found. So here we go. Avoid hiking. Normally, you don't think of hiking as a dangerous sport. But one of the first things, if you look at any rules for hikers, this is one of the first. Avoid hiking alone because the buddy system is safer during any type of activity. Which is true. And also, two minds think better than one. I've never been lost before. I say that. I was lost. I didn't term it that way. I just said I was looking at different trees for a while. But this was in Colorado in October. Nighttime temperatures were 5 degrees. You know, you wake up in the morning, your boots were frozen to the ground. I was with my brother. A lot of times I'm with friends and that sort of thing. But he and I were together, and it was real calm and cool. We didn't say we were lost. We missed the trail. We had 2 feet of snow. How we missed a trail, well, the section we missed was in the sunshine, so that's why we missed it. But, you know, we didn't lose anything because there were two of us thinking, and we started talking and said, okay, well, as long as we walk up the mountain, we're bound to top out, and we know the trail runs across the mountain. So we'll hit the trail. And we were gone, you know, half an hour or so before we got back to where we knew where we were. So that's one of those simple things. Just call somebody. I mean, even if you sprain your ankle or something, you know, if you had to sit down, the second person could go back to the car, get help, come to you, just simple things like that. And when you're hiking, the trails are wet, rocks, that sort of thing. It's just one of those things to keep in mind. Tell someone where you're going, when you'll get back. Don't forget to check in with them when you do get back. Let them know, yes, I'm back. Now, normally, for me, that's my wife, and I'll call her when I get back to the car, that sort of thing. Real simple thing. Stay on the marked trails. This family got in trouble because they ventured off a trail. Now, in wintertime, it's not, well, it's still critical. But in wintertime, it's easier to get your directions because the leaves are gone and that sort of thing. But once those leaves come out on the trees, you leave a trail, the foliage closes in around you, and you don't know which way is which. Now, luckily, these people knew to stay put. They pretty much stayed where they are. But stay on the marked trails. Any hiking brochure will tell you that, you know, there's trail blaze marks and that sort of thing. So you know where the trails are. Don't climb on waterfalls. Oof. Go up to DuPont State Forest and look at some of those waterfalls, and you understand why. Carry quality rain gear. You know, dress in layers if it's cold. Carry plenty of drinking water. Never assume a stream is safe to drink. Now, if you don't have any water, go ahead and drink the water out of the stream. But be aware, there's lots of bacteria in that stream water. So just carry some water with you. Don't count on cell phones to work in the wilderness. You know, I think Verizon is pretty good. I was up hiking the other day, and I Google Maps, and I could tell exactly where I was right there on my cell phone. But don't count on that. A paper map is always your go-to. Don't rely on GPS for the same reason. You know, batteries can die, and you've got to have, what, 2 or 3 satellites, and sometimes that's hard to get when you're in the mountains. Good boots and socks, and wear bright colors. You know, there's don't go out there dressed in camouflage. You're hard to find. If you're lost, you're hard enough to find if you're dressed in regular clothes. Don't go out there in camouflage and expect to be found. Couple things, carry an emergency kit. Every hiker, every time I go anywhere, I've got a small one. Doesn't have to be much, but, you know, bandages and some Tylenol and that sort of thing. But an emergency kit, you know, water, first aid kit, a whistle. You know, you can blow that whistle a lot longer than you can yell. Flashlight with extra batteries, even if you're going on a day hike. And this all fits in a nice little pack. Glow sticks, energy food. You know, those trail bars or whatever. I'm not a fan of trail mix anymore. I've eaten way too much of it in my life. So the little energy bars are great. A bright colored bandana, this one says. That's for signaling. You know, a mirror. Trash bag. You know, poke a hole in it and you've got a poncho. Aluminum foil. There is this one right here. Strips can be tied to trees to reflect searchlights. You can use it to make a bowl of water, to gather water. Kids, you know, attach a whistle to their clothing. So if you lose them, they can blow the whistle. You can find them. Talk to your kids about what to do if they become lost. You know, stay in one place, that sort of thing. teach, you know, don't get mad at them. Teach them that it's okay to get lost, just what to do when they do. Reassure children that people that they hear looking and calling for them are friends. Don't hide from the searchers. Answer their calls. Don't run. It says, hug a tree. This prevents wandering even farther. Don't be afraid of animals, strange noises. Stay put, make a shelter, stay warm and dry, be visible, and have a good time out there. There's the music. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back. This is the final segment of Woods and Water for this Saturday. Hope you got outside some. Last Saturday before the show, I got a text wanting me to come down the coast and go fishing. But I already made plans to go trout fishing with a buddy of mine, so I had to turn down the offshore trip. It's a good thing I went trout fishing and not to the coast, because the boat never left the dock. Sunday morning, fuel problems, saved me a lot of riding. I sure hope Split Decision is off the hill and back on the water soon, because I need some salt water and I need some mahi for the freezer too. But I went fishing with a buddy, a real good buddy of mine. I think we've known each other somewhere going on 30 years now. It was a good day. Just a short trip up to the mountains, fished a delayed harvest stream, caught 8 fish apiece. I caught the biggest fish. My net is 15 inches, and this rainbow was bowed up underneath both ends of the net. I did measure. It's 19, 20, 21 inches. Football. I mean, this was a grown fish. I was on one side of a boulder fishing a split in the river on the other side of the boulder, and this fish hit it. And you know, when a big fish hits, it's just like, uh-oh, I've got a live one here. Took me a few minutes to get it in. But this is how it goes. I worked this, and it took me a while to get her in, trying to get the net, trying to keep her out of the current, trying to keep her from rubbing me off on the rocks. Got her in the net. Got the hook out, trying to keep her in the water. My good friend is coming upstream. He's getting his camera out, and I'm holding the fish. And right about the time he says, "Are you ready for the picture?" the fish just kicks and is gone. And you know how sometimes you react to things and you don't think, well, I reacted. And I just kind of laid back and cracked my head on the rock that I had climbed around. And that just added insult to injury. And because I didn't get a picture, now I'm getting the, "You caught a big fish, you got a picture?" I'm like, no, well, without a picture, it didn't happen. In fact, my very good friend who was with me that day, you know, as soon as the fish swam away, I said, "You saw that, right?" And he goes, "Yeah, I saw a 5-inch creek chub." So, oh, it was a good day, but it was a bad day. And climbing out of the river with felt sole boots, I slipped, banged my right kneecap into another rock. And, you know, it was the best and worst of a good day outside. Those are the normal ways my days go. I'll have pretty good luck, but I self-destruct in the end. Couple of things from the news. Adam at Lake Robinson sent me a message this week, said the crappie are spawning on Lake Robinson and Cunningham. I know Watery, they said it came and went before anybody knew it, but he sent me a message, so gotta take him at his word. If you've got the 18 foot or smaller, the 10 horsepower or less, go catch some crappie. If you want an alligator hunt, DNR has opened up the alligator hunting, I guess you can go and call it application process. You know, there's 4 units, Southern Coastal, Middle Coast, Midlands, and PD. You go to DNR website and you can see all this. You know, you can choose, you know, your four preferences and put one unit in. If you want one unit, you can only put it down once. I tried to put the same unit down 4 times and it kicked me out. So I know from experience, you can only put that unit down once. You know, read your alligator regulations, that sort of thing, when you get ready to go. But you can go in and apply. You know, it's $10 and they charge a $3 convenience fee. you can elect to get just the preference point, or you can get in for the hunt. That's an option you check when you're going in here. So we can start thinking about hunting season already. News here from DNR, the state deer harvest is about 3.6% in 2013. You know, we had a real boom year back around 2002, you know, but after 2002, the population had been, you know, on the downside a little bit. You know, you could blame that on any number of things. You know, most people default to the coyotes or whatever. But there were a little over 330,000 deer killed in South Carolina last year, and that's pretty good. Charles Ruth, the guy that wrote the article, or the DNR biologist, says he thinks population has stabilized a little where we are, so that's good. You know, if you're got the coyotes around, you may want to think about working on the coyote population a little bit with a little varmint hunting, keep you sharp during the off season. There's a story from the Outdoor Wire. Hunters, shooters plan to keep on spending. Yeah, that's the thing about us. We shoot ammunition. We got to go replace it. We go fishing. We have to lose gear. We have to tackle. We have to go to the store and get new hooks and that sort of thing. 52% said they plan to spend at least the same amount as last year. 20% anticipate spending a little more. 10% say they plan to expend significantly more in 2014. So there again, and that's good news, because those purchases, you remember the 11% tax from Pittman Robertson we talked about a month or so ago. That's good, because the states get that money back. That's a federal tax, goes into a fund, and once a year we get it back. And South Carolina got over $1 million this year. So that is really good. And that's money DNR can use. So keep it up, sportsmen. Keep spending the money. I'll do my share too, I'm sure. Another thing from DNR, there's two little news stories here about wildlife in general. You know, don't, if you see a wild, well, this, they're talking about deer here, you know, adopting a lost fawn is illegal and likely not abandoned. If you run across a fawn this time of the year, and the does are going to start dropping here shortly, you know, leave it alone. It's cute. It looks like it needs help and all that, but trust me, mom is somewhere around close. She's looking after it. That little deer is not going to run from you. I mean, its defensive posture is to lay extremely still. Now, I was years ago when we had a duck club down in Anderson. We were walking a dike one day, and there's a head that just appears over the brush in front of us, and it's a fawn still in spots. And the little fella gets up and walks over to us. And your first instinct is to pet, because it's cute. It is. It's the cutest little thing, spots and all that. And its nose was just working and the ears were working and that sort of thing. And it was all I could do to keep from petting it. It walked up and sniffed my hand. And it's just human instinct to want to do that. But leave those things alone. They're not lost like you would expect them to be. The other one is manatees. We are starting to see a good many manatees along the coast. They'll hang out around docks, boat landings, that sort of thing. Years ago when I used to go down to Florida, before my kids realized that there were other things to do on vacation rather than let daddy go fishing, in Florida, whether it was the Everglades or the Indian River Lagoon or those sort of things, they got lots of them, and you'll see them, and they have props cars and that sort of thing. Some of that is unavoidable. You know, you can be careful. You can look out for them, that sort of thing. Some of that stuff's going to happen, but DNR wants to remind you, look, don't feed the manatees. And don't water them. You know, in salt water, they like a little bit of fresh water, I guess. Just leave them alone. Enjoy looking at them. They're pretty fascinating animals. They look kind of weird. But, you know, it's like you had a bunch of extra parts you threw together, and that's what you got. You got a manatee. But they're pretty cool. But don't, with the wildlife and all the little babies, whether it's a deer or a squirrel or whatever, just leave them alone. Nature will take care of them. If mom's not around, then that's just the cycle of life in nature. Here's a good one for you. This is out of Sarasota, Florida. Three 12-year-old kids catch a 692-pound shark. And this is great. Get this mental picture. You got three 12-year-old boys. They're on a fishing boat with their dads. and they're after grouper. And one of them says here, I like to fish grouper. So I like to catch the shark, but I want some grouper. So anyway, they're on this boat and they hook into this 692-pound Mako shark. And these kids are from Ohio. So, you know, salt water, it's not like they could go 2 miles down the road and be in, you know, South, or be on the coast or whatever. It's the dad and the guide says, you know, you got three boys hanging onto this rod and they're taking turns reeling. And can you imagine the conversation that's going on there? But it was quite a great picture. Three kids, three, 12 of you. That's a memory that will last their entire lives. Even though the friendships may come and go, each one of those will have a story to tell. And they said, you know, for us, having done this for a long time, we recognize how special it was. But for them, they were ready to go back and catch grouper. It's a great story. And here's one to make you scratch your head. And this is kind of funny. It's just the end of the show. I'll throw this out to you. Cornell University did a study in science. It finds that children who eat chicken on the bone are more aggressive. I had to think about that one for a little bit because growing up, there was no other way to eat chicken. You know, fried chicken came on the bone. Now, my wife thinks it comes boneless from Bilo, and it does from Bilo, but it didn't grow that way. You just had to scratch your head and think about this one. I mean, I must have been awfully aggressive because I ate a bunch of chicken when I was growing up. And maybe they ought to be studying more things like the next story, which is children exposed to violent video games retain aggressive behavior and thoughts. Now I can see a little more rationality to that one than I can from eating chicken off a bone. All right, it's springtime. You're starting to think, what can I do with my kids and all? How about a backyard camp out? Stories written says kids spend 55 hours a week indoors using electronics and less time outdoors. And we know that you see it. But how do you get your kids back outside? You know, enjoy nature, develop creativity. Try a backyard camp out. It's cheap. I mean, we used to do it with a quilt and a couple of stakes from my dad's surveying bag and a hammer and, you know, the beagle, Butch. It doesn't take much. If you don't have the stuff, you don't have to go buy it. Sunrift Adventures has it for rent. You know, they may not like it. You may not like it, but you might really enjoy it and you might want to go more of that. So backyard camp out's cheap, you know, build a fire, roast some marshmallows, wiener, you know, some hot dogs and that sort of thing. Just one of those things, the small things that can get you back outside. And I saw this. This is a old Johnson outboard sign. And, I'm sure you see these all the time. It says, remember when your GPS and fish locator were rolling to one trusty unit called Grandpa? You know, how cool is that? Cause I remember those days. That was me growing up. Granddaddy knew how to find those fish. He could find them anywhere. So I never had to rely on electronics. Oh shoot, I lost something here. But yeah, Grandpa. What a great one. If you're thinking about something to do, you got a canoe or a kayak. Do you know there are 9 river segments in South Carolina that are designated scenic? Ashley, the Black, Broad River, Catawba, Great PD, Little PD, Saluda River, Middle Saluda River, Lynch's River. You know, there's something you could do. Pick a river, park a car, take a canoe trip, pack a lunch. One more news thing. More than 6 miles of Lake Wateree waterfront protected in Lancaster County. Department of Natural Resources and the Conservation Fund announced the permanent protection of 1,628 acres with more than 6 miles of Lake Wateree shoreline in Lancaster County. DNR will manage that property as part of a wildlife management area program for habitat and water quality preservation and plans to make it available to the public for hiking, hunting, bird hunting, bird watching, and fishing. Here's the music. Get out this week. Go to a fishing rodeo. Take the back roads. Be careful and don't forget the camera. I'll see you next Saturday.